let's we'll take a departure from studying the Minor Prophets. I know we've got about five books or six books already. A couple weeks ago, I was visiting an assembly, and the one brother says, "Have you taken a look at the names of the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Mark?" And so every chapter speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, and as actually the name in every chapter that's given about the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Mark. So today we will actually look into the book of Mark. So let's turn our scripture to, as we open the Word of God quickly, John wrote something that's important for us. John wrote in the Gospel, in his second to last book, it says here, "Many things, many other signs, truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you might have life through his name." Our God and Holy Father, today as we open your word, may we get the truth to understand who you are and why you're called by these names. May we understand today, O Lord, that we can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as he's being the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the one who is sent from God, who came from God, and that we can understand through his word today that we can have life in Jesus Christ, our Lord, through him, that we can be delivered from the punishment, judgment of sin and death, and that we can live everlasting with him. And so now we ask you to just teach us this time together here as we open your word. Give us understanding, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So in the book of Mark here, it says Mark is actually in the New Testament. I know you've seen these kind of slides before, but it's one of those four books of the Gospels that which was written. It's actually the shortest book, and I thought today that as I began to study this book, I thought I would complete it in one session. I discovered I couldn't. So, the first verse says there, in the beginning, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The first verse is written there. Mark begins the book by writing about the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says it is the gospel, and he also gives the indication that his name is Jesus Christ, and he is the Son of God. So there are many different names that are given in this particular book about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm just putting them all on the screen there that you can see. Some of them I wish I could go and explain every single one of them tonight, but I couldn't. But here are quite a few names in which Mark has described the Lord Jesus Christ. He says he is the Messiah, or he's the Christ, he is the Son of God, he is the Son of Man, he is a teacher, or in some kind of references a rabbi, he is the Lord, the Son of David, beloved Son, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And we find that Jesus himself references himself as a physician, as a sower, as a shepherd, and as a stone. So, as we look into the Word today, we will focus on just a few of these things. And the first one that that Mark describes today is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we think of who the Lord Jesus is, we can think Jesus says that his name Jesus means salvation. And it means that we think of the word of the word that it says that God, he came, or Jesus came to save us from our sins. We couldn't save ourselves. We couldn't save ourselves from the consequence of our sin. It took the Lord Jesus Christ himself from the word of God in John chapter 14 and verse 6. It says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one come unto the Father except by me." And most assuredly, Jesus said in John 5 verse 24 that he who hears my word and believes on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. This is Jesus, the Messiah. He is the one who is the Christ. He came to save us from our sins. He is the way, the only way, in order that we can have salvation through God. And we also find that the word he says here, that he is also the Christ, the gospel, which stands for good news, speaks of Jesus, who is our Savior, and is also the Christ. The Christ, as we understand it, is the anointed one. In the Old Testament, they look forward for someone who will be that anointed one. The Jews were interested in him. This person would be the Messiah, he's called the deliverer or the ruler. And if you look even in Psalm 72 and verse 8, you'll find words like the fact that he shall have dominion over the seas, from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. This is this one, this Messiah, who will be a ruler, who will be powerful. And we find there in Psalms 110 and verse 2, it says there that the Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion, rule in the midst of your enemies. The Jews, the Israelites, look forward for this person that will come forward. And then even in Daniel, it talks about the fact that there in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 3, Nebuchadnezzar wrote about this one. He says that I will declare signs and wonders, this one that he's talking about, this one that's to come. Signs and wonders, the Most High God has worked in me. How great are his signs and how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. His dominion is from generation to generation. And you remember the times when we think of here at Christmas time, we tend to gather here and think of the words in which speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. It looks back in Isaiah chapter 17 and verse 4. It talks about the fact that the Lord shall himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. So even then, in the prophets, 600 years before our Lord Jesus Christ came, this prophecy was wrote by Isaiah. And so we find there, for unto us a child is born, Isaiah continues to write in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And so we find here, the Israelites look forward for this one, who's going to come, and he's going to judge, and he's going to rule. And he will be set up, as someone said, as a branch. And he will be the one in charge. And so as the Messiah looked for it, as the Israelites looked for the coming of the Messiah, they really thought that John the Baptist was the Messiah. So they questioned him. If you look at John, in this portion here, it says John here, a messenger of God. He says, the voice that cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And John went on baptizing in the wilderness, and he preached baptism of repentance and remission of sins. But if you go to John chapter 1, I try to focus here in Mark, but you couldn't because Mark is an abbreviated book. If you went to John chapter 1, you find that the religious leaders went out to John the Baptist, and he asked them a question. He says, if you turn to it yourself, who are you? Who are you in John chapter 1 and verse 19? They sent and asked John the Baptist. And John quickly confessed something in verse 20 of John chapter 1. He said that I am not the Christ. So in a sense that everyone was looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, everyone was looking for the Messiah. But John the Baptist confessed that he was not the Christ. And so the question even continued even further. If you turn to, the first John, the question continued even further. And it says there that in verse 24, the Pharisees continue to ask him, are you a prophet? He says, no. And then he says and they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And verse 25, and he asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not the Christ, nor Elias, nor a prophet? And he answered and said unto them, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye do not know. He it is who is coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latcheth, the lacings I'm not worthy to unloose. And so we find that he was continuing to doing many signs. And then we find that he found this one, the Lord Jesus Christ, this one, the Messiah. And he says, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And so we find here, as John the Baptist continued to declare, even though before he said he was not the Messiah, he then declared that in verse 34, I saw and bear witness that this is the Son of God. And so John the Baptist then recognized that this one, Jesus Christ, whom he baptized, is the Son of God. But as the scripture there in John chapter 1 continues to say that one of the people who were with John, we find there in verse 41, I think it is verse 41, it says there, as we continue reading in verse 42, one of the two which heard John speak, followed him, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He findeth his own brother Simon, and said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And so he brought him to Christ. We found him. Isn't it amazing to know that these people found the Lord Jesus Christ? They know that he was that Messiah, he was that one to come. And we find here that the scriptures continue not only there, but in chapter 4 in the Gospel of John, it talks about the woman, the Samaritan woman. The Samaritan was a mixed race there. But she was a woman at the well, and Jesus was speaking to her. And as Jesus spoke to her in verse 25, it says there, she understood that this person that's speaking to her was someone important. The woman said in verse 25, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. Same word. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said in verse 26 unto her, I that speaketh unto you am he. So Jesus himself called himself the Messiah. And the woman was so excited that she decided to leave her water pots there from the well in verse 28. And she went and she around the city, and in verse 29 she says, come see a man, a human being, come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? And so she went around and called everyone to come and see the Lord Jesus Christ. But here, verse 39, as the woman continued, and many of Samaritans of the city believed on him and the sayings of the woman, which testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came, when Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that they would tarry with him, and he abode with them 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. And verse 42, and the woman said, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. And what a proclamation that this woman declared, that Jesus Christ was indeed the Savior of the world. But you think it stopped there? It didn't stop there. When we find that we find also that the demons recognize that Jesus was also the Christ. If you go back in Mark, but we won't do so yet, it's part of their continued study, we find that the demons, when once came in contact with the Lord Jesus Christ, he cried out, you are the Christ, Luke says, the Son of God. So even the demon recognized that this one, Jesus, is the Christ, is the Son of God. And you know, Jesus wants us to know that, and we kind of sort of read it today in John chapter 17 and verse 3. He kind of declared that to us, that Jesus is saying, Father, in the end of his, almost at the end of his time, he's praying to God in heaven, his Father, the hour has come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as he has given him. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And this is what Jesus wants you to know. He wants you to know that you can have truth, you can have eternal life, and you can have it in Jesus Christ, because he sent his son to give you that particular life. And that's why we read the last verse there in John chapter 20, that the things that are written, there were many things written in the four Gospels, but yet there were many other actions that Jesus did. But these were written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing on him, you can have life in his name. So praise God that we can have life in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we looked at some of these verses. I apologize for not putting them up on the screen in advance. But we look at some of these verses here that all reflected that Jesus is the Messiah. The one that we're speaking of here in Mark is the one that we should remember, that we should worship, we should adore. He is the ruler. He is the Christ. He came. And as many people recognize he is, he even said that I am he. So let's continue in looking at another name. And it says there in verse 1, not only that Jesus is the gospel of Jesus Christ, but he's also the Son of God. Mark described it right out in the beginning. He wants you to know who this Jesus was. And the name refers to a title. It also indicates the deity of this particular one, Jesus Christ, in that the Son brings us into some sort of, Jesus brings us into a relationship to understand that he is yet human and yet he is yet God. And so this is the beauty of this particular dynamic of using these particular words. And if you go back to John, because many things are said in John about Jesus himself. Jesus himself in John chapter 5 and verse 18 made himself equal with God. He made himself equal with God. We find there that he wanted you to know in John chapter 5 and verse 23 that if you honor, you should honor the Son just like you honor the Father. There's equality with the Son, Jesus Christ, and also with God. And we find here that in chapter 5 and verse 23 of John, that the same power that God has given to the Lord Jesus Christ, a duty to finish. He sent him to do a work that he had to finish. And we find that when we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, if he's indeed the Son of God, throughout this book, you will find that he had power. He had power over creation, in which he created in this book of Mark, it spoke of the fact that he had power over the seas and the storms. The disciples were amazed at how he was able to calm the storm in chapter 4 of Mark in verse 39. We find that they asked the question, what manner of man is this that even the sea, the wind, and the sea even obeyed him? That was the amazing thing of who the Son of God was. He had control over creation. And we find there that not only so, but throughout this book you'll find that he also has the power to raise the dead. There was a story in Mark chapter 5, in verse 35 through verse 41. A 12-year-old girl was raised from the dead. And so Jesus taught his disciples that one day I will be killed, and then I will rise again from the dead. And that is in chapter 9 in verse 31. Many people didn't understand that. But when we think of what happened in the resurrection, when the angels in chapter 16 came to the tomb of where they had buried the Lord Jesus Christ, they said, he is not here, he is risen. Our Lord is indeed risen. Don't be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified, he is risen. He's not here. And he's at a place, come and see the tomb where they laid him, empty. It's gone. The Son of God has power over creation. The Son of God has power over death. The Son of God has power to give life. And we also find that throughout this book, you'll find there are many powers he has, even over the demons. He was able to cast them out of many people. And so we glorify God for this, that the demons even obeyed him, and they came to recognize that he was indeed the Son of God. What about ourselves? We think of the angel Gabriel. When he came to give Mary the news of that she would have a child, we find there that he declared that this child will be called the Son of God. This thing that's born from you will be called the Son of God. And so Mary found that to be an amazing story of her life. And then we also find that it's not only so, but if you look at verse 11 of chapter 1 of Mark, we find there that Jesus, when he was being baptized, when he came out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him, and there came a voice from heaven saying, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And so we find here that God the Father recognized that that he is beloved Son. So if God is the Father, he is the Son. He's well pleased in his beloved Son. And then there are many other people. And as it says here, the demons, John the Baptist, Nathaniel, a wonderful story. Come see the Messiah there in John. But anyhow, so the demons recognized, even in chapter 1 and verse 24, it didn't take long before Jesus was in contact with people. It says there, look at verse 23. As Jesus had, on the Sabbath day, people were astonished. Verse 23, and there was in there, the synagogue, a man who had an unclean spirit. An unclean spirit is like a demon. And he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." He's the Holy One of God, the Son of God. He recognized him, Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy One of God. So even the demons recognized that we have here someone who is the Son of God. And this, many other verses in chapter 3, verse 11, the same thing says, that you are the Son of God. Another demon came out and said that. So the best one I can think of here is in this particular book, in chapter 5 and verse 7, we know the story quite well, in which a man by the name of Legion, and the reason why they call him Legion is because he had a Roman army, was considered a legion, had about 6,000 soldiers in there. And so there, this person had, you can say the same thing, 6,000 demons in there. And so we find that, as the scripture continued to say, that when Legion saw Jesus, when Legion saw Jesus afar off in verse 6, he ran and worshiped him and cried a loud voice, "What am I to do with thee, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked, "What is thy name?" He says, "My name is Legion, for we are many." I came in contact with a person this week, and they declared themselves as, "We are many." So this isn't anything new today. It's been in time past, it's been in time present, and you'll see it in the future. There are people who are a person, might be many. So let's continue the word of God. And so it says there that Legion recognized that Jesus was the Son of the Most High. He's the Son of God. And he implored him not to, he recognized that he was the Son of God. So we told that John the Baptist did the same thing. Nathaniel recognized that Jesus was the Son of God. He was the Messiah. And so the scripture says the centurion, when he was on the cross, after seeing Jesus die, he recognized that he was the Son of God. And then, of course, there are many others. Peter recognized this. But then we find there Jesus himself declared many times. Martha recognized that he was the Son of God at the time when her brother Lazarus died, when Jesus was approached them, when she was 4 days in the tomb buried there. And she said in John that she said, "Yes, Lord, I believe that thou art the Son of God who has come into this world." We're thankful today that our Lord Jesus Christ is at one who has come from heaven to become one like us, to take upon himself the form of a human being, mankind, to suffer and to die for us. It says there, if you look at this scripture in Mark chapter 13, you can go to another passage. Mark chapter 13, and verse 32. Jesus is speaking, and he's saying something about himself. He says, "But the day of the Lord and the hour no man knows." We're talking about the return of Christ. "And nor the angels which is in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father." So in a sense, Jesus referred to himself as capital S-O-N, the Son. He's the Son of God, and he's revealing that he is the Son of God. And it is the reason why the Jews decided in John to stone him, to pick up their stones to stone him, because he made that connection between the Father and himself. He made the connection in John chapter 10 that he and the Father are one. And so therefore, they were upset. The religious leaders were upset with this particular man. Not because of the good things he had done, but because he made himself equal with God. And so Jesus himself was not shy about declaring himself to be equal with God. And so if he wasn't shy to declare himself equal with God, it went all the way to when he was crucified, just before he was crucified in chapter 14. So in chapter 14, he himself answered the question again in verse 61. So the question is asked, he's been arrested by the religious leaders. He has been taken to them, and they asked him a very question in verse 61. It says there, "Again, the high priest asked him and said, 'Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?' And Jesus said, 'I am.' And that was a statement that drove them insane. And they decided to spit upon him and to beat him and also to send him away to be crucified. He declared himself to be the Son of God." We have to come to recognize, what have we declared the Lord Jesus to be? As we said there in the scriptures, as we read there, many other signs Jesus did. Many other signs Jesus did that just aren't written in this book, in the book of John, in the Gospels. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you might have life in his name. The Word of God says there in 1 John chapter 5, in the back of the book, in the letter of 1 John, and this is a testimony that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. This life is in his Son. And it says there, as it continues in 1 John chapter 5, in verse 12, it says, "And he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things I write unto you, that you believe on the name of the Son of God, and that you might know that you have eternal life, and that you might believe on the name of the Son of God." You want to have eternal life, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to have life with God, you believe that this Jesus is the Christ, is also the Son of God. He is the Savior of the world, he is the anointed one, he was the one that's been promised long before time. People look forward. The religious leaders look forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we today need to look forward and know that he came, and this one died for our sins. It says in verse 20 of 1 John chapter 5, in the back it says, "And we know that the Son of God is come and has given us an understanding that we should know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." God has given us an understanding. You read his word, we'll get an understanding. The Spirit of God will work into your life that you can know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that when we know that this is true, you can have a life of joy and peace, and we can be with him, resting upon him, knowing that whatever happens to us today, our life is secured in Christ our Lord and also in the Father's hand. We'll close in prayer. Our God, we thank you for today, for the joy that we can have in you, for the joy that we can have in Jesus Christ our Lord, life everlasting. We ask, Lord, that today as we leave this place, that we do not leave here with a lack of understanding of who Jesus Christ is. He is Lord. He was yet came a man, born as a child, grew up in the area of Nazareth, born in Bethlehem, grew up in Nazareth, and went about preaching and teaching life unto people, revealing himself that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come unto the Father except by him. We pray, our God, today that our hearts will be open to know Jesus and accept him as the way of salvation to God. We ask, O Lord, that you would just continue, that we would continue to read your word and to know the truth therein. So bless this time together. We thank you, Lord, for this little time of fellowship, of just opening your word to you, knowing that in this little book, there's so much to be learned. We thank you, Lord, that over the years of time, the thousands of years that we've been here, that God's word is yet fresh and the Spirit of God is yet working and doing a marvelous thing. We pray for the souls of those around us, for our family, our friends, and those who come in contact, even this area. The Lord is coming soon. And so we ask that the Son do not know the time, but only the Father does. So let us, O Lord, be ready and continue to share God's word. We thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.